go. I love that song. I don't know why Hall and Oates, just something about them. I don't know which one's Hall or which one's Oates, but
the song's a bop. Like, you can't not bounce your head to it. Exactly.
Hey, welcome to Sean Beatty Podcast. Sorry, I got distracted by the music. I was like, oh yeah, right? Let's just get you going.
I get it.
So, hey, welcome. And this is my podcast. I got Morgan here with me.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
All right. All right. So today we're going to talk about Israel.
Yes.
Israel. There's a lot going on in the world.
What?
Yeah. Concerning Israel. And there's a lot of opinions out there.
Yeah.
So I am going to try. I try my very best to form my opinions on Israel based on what the scriptures say.
Yeah.
Not what popular opinion is. And then secondly, my experience, if that makes sense. Being there, been there 6 times, have lots of friends there.
Yeah.
I have Palestinian friends there, many. I have Israeli friends there. So I try and base everything based on that, what the scripture says, and then my experience, and then we go from there. So if you don't like it, opinions are like armpits. Everyone has them, and they stink. But I try and keep mine as informed as possible by the Word of God, if that makes sense. So
I'm with you.
So if you have questions, you can text in at scott.hinman@hillsonline.org.
That's what I did. I'm in charge of a lot of our Easter print stuff here and all of our holiday stuff. And I made a document of like when everything was coming and important dates and contacts. And at the end, I was like, oh, reach out to me for marketing, reach out to Sandy for the Who's Your One bags. And then for comments and complaints, reach out to Scott.
There you go, Pastor Scott. That's our executive pastor, if you don't know who he is. Hey, so Israel, let's talk about that. So what, as a regular chick?
Yep.
Okay. Like what do you know about Israel?
Yeah.
And what do you want to know?
So what I know is obviously like the history of the Bible in Israel. I think, right? You know, because
there's a lot of that going on. Yeah.
They've traveled all over. That was something I figured out like when I actually looked at a map reading Old Testament, I was like, oh, they're like all over the place.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know it's basically kind of the birthplace of the Bible in a sense. It's the birthplace of Christianity. And I know that there's been a lot of war back and forth for a very, 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 very long time. And I know that I think there's been a lot of, I'm losing my thought, but anyways, yeah, I know that there's been a lot of war back and forth. I know that there's a lot of stuff in the Bible in Israel.
There's a lot of speculation people have, if that makes sense.
And there's been a lot on social media recently. And I think more for me about Palestine. Am I saying that right?
Sure. You see Free Palestine all over social media.
Yeah. Cause like, for example, I follow Macklemore because he owns the Kraken and he's a Seahawks fan and I love him. Uh-huh. And he's been pro Palestine. And that's what really started me, I think, digging more into like, okay, well, why is there so much divide on this topic? And I'm still not very clear. Like most of the info I know is from hearing it from you.
Yeah. So, popular culture, the way it works, pop stars, all that, they all kind of toe the same line.
Yeah.
It's really funny to see how pop culture has become. They're almost like the church was in the 40s and the 50s. Mm. Like if you don't believe the right things and you don't talk the right way and you don't use the right language, you're out.
Cancel culture.
Yeah. And, that literally is what I think human beings do when they're in power.
Yeah.
So, kind of that group has the dominant voice of the culture now, where probably in previous generations it might have been the church.
Yeah.
Now that group does, and they use the same tactics: guilt, fear, shame. They wordsmith things, and if you don't say it the way they do, you're in trouble. So that group is typically pro-Palestine. So I'm pro-Palestinians and pro-Israelis. I'm pro-people.
Yeah.
Right? And the Bible, when it talks about Israel, it's very nuanced. So it's not like you can make like a definitive like post on social media.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem, right? Like Macklemore or any of these guys, like Free Palestine. Well, what does that mean? You don't even know what that means.
We like to make things black and white. We really like, and we do it with God too. We try to make things fit in a box. We want it pretty. We want it tied up and we want it good. Like,
yeah. So the Palestine wasn't a country ever really.
Yeah.
That phrase wasn't really used until the 20th century.
Okay.
It was used a little bit in scholarly circles, but there was no such thing as like Palestinian people before that. But let's just go to the Bible because I don't need to get into history right now as far as that recent history.
People would love a history lesson.
Yeah, we'll start from the beginning, okay?
In the beginning.
So what we know is there were people living in that area, and the Bible called the area where Israel is now the land of Canaan.
Okay.
So Abraham, the father of the Jews and the Muslims, left Ur of the Chaldeans, which is where Iraq is. He goes west to the land of Canaan, which is modern day Israel and Jordan, right? And it was called Canaan for forever. And then when Jacob, right? So you have Abraham had his son Isaac, or he had Isaac and he had a son Ishmael. Yeah. Isaac, father of the Jews. Ishmael, father of the Arab people. And of course, right, they've been at odds.
Yep.
The brothers have been at odds ever since. And the Bible talked about that, how that was going to happen. And,
yeah.
And Ishmael was born first, and he was really supposed to traditionally get the birthright and the blessing. Mm-hmm. But it was given to Isaac. And that was always been a point of contention. And it's still a point of contention today, right? Whose land is it? The Arabs,
yes,
Palestinians,
okay.
Or the Jews, right?
Yeah.
That, to this day, that's still going on.
The division's still there.
Yeah. So Isaac has a son. He has Jacob, right? Jacob has his 12 sons. God changes Jacob's name to Israel. Right? So Israel was a people, not a land. Israel was put into slavery in Egypt.
Yeah.
They were Exodus out of Egypt, and they were supposed to go to Canaan, to the promised land, the land of Abraham, their forefathers, right? And they were disobedient, so they wandered the desert for 40 years. They wandered the desert 40 years, and then they go in and they take the land of Canaan. Mm. And they proceed to take the land by war. Yeah. Right? That's kind of how land is taken.
Yeah.
I always think it's funny when people are like, we stole the Indians' land. Like, yeah, that's how land is taken.
Yeah.
No one ever goes, you guys want our country?
It's conquered.
Yeah, come on in, you know? Like, it doesn't work that way. Land is taken. That's human history. So they went in. They took the land back. They would say it was theirs. They took it. They lived there for a very long time.
So basically, just so I'm clear, they lived there when it was where Jacob, and that's where the 12 tribes come in, but then they got taken into slavery by the Egyptians.
Yes.
And then that's when they were going back, and that's Moses, right? Like, they were going back to the promised land.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, 2500 BC.
Yeah.
Right. 2500 to 2000 BC.
Okay.
Right. So then they come back into the land. They've taken the land. They live in conjunction with the Philistines,
okay,
the Moabites, some of these Edomites, some of these different, the mosquito the tribes, bites.
Yeah.
Some of them they wiped out, right? Yeah. And then some of them they didn't, and they had to live with them, and they lived in really, they had problems from all of them the whole time because, who are you guys? Right? This nation of a million people just kind of moved in and took over, right? And
well, anytime you take over violently, there's always going to be this.
Or think about our country, even not violently.
Yeah.
Right? In the last, I think they said in the last 3 years, like close to three million people have immigrated in from the southern border.
That's crazy.
That creates problems.
Yes.
And they did it peacefully.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, it's a thing. So that's always been going on there. But what happened was after Rome, the Roman Empire in 70 AD, finally had it with the Jews. They're always kind of rising insurrections up. And, so from the time of, Joshua and them coming back and taking the land. They were there. It was their land. They were okay. The dominant people there. They were the dominant force there. David, you know, all of those biblical characters, all there. Funny part is, when you go to Israel, the militant Palestinians will say, no, the Jews have never been here. And they'll say all of that archaeology is made up.
Oh.
All of it. That is, it, you know, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, they're defunct now, but Hamas.
Yeah.
They'll all argue that. And they'll say, no, it never happened.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So you have this like, well, yeah, it did. No, it didn't. Yeah, it did. No, it did. Like, that's what's going on.
No, it's true.
But the reality is that there's this overwhelming evidence that the Jews have been there for thousands and thousands of years. In AD 70, though, this is what happened. The Romans got sick of them, and the Jews tried to throw a rebellion, and the Romans, like, leveled the place.
Yeah.
So they leveled Jerusalem.
I killed
everyone.
I read a book, and it's fiction. It's by Francine Rivers, but I read this book series called The Mark of the Lion series.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally starts out talking about the Romans invading, like, Jerusalem, like, what the main character is, like, at the temple, basically, when they invade, and, like, just talking about the cruelty and how it happened. And it was, like, it was brutal, like, because it was either starvation or, like, raping or murder or just throwing dead bodies over the wall. Like, it was...
The Romans don't mess around.
No.
Yeah, they're really good at killing people. They seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So they leveled the place. There was actually a band of Israelites that retreated, and they overtook one of King Herod's palaces out in the desert on a mountain called Masada.
Yeah.
And you can go to it. Like, it's excavated. It's really cool. It overlooks the Dead Sea. It's incredible what that guy built in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
So when they destroyed Jerusalem, they, you know, they killed a lot of people. They cast them off. And then it became just mostly a Roman province. It had Jews. It had Arabs. It had Romans in it, right? So that went for a very long time. Over time, the Arab people... Really, they reproduced the most. They grew. The Jews were kind of dispersed throughout the world. They went to Russia. They went to Europe. They were kind of, kind of refugees, right?
Well, and the hard part is, didn't they also, isn't it part of their culture? Like, you're only Jewish through, like, the mom side, too. So, like, couldn't they really only basically get married to each other and all of that, which I feel like dwindles that, too?
Yeah,
especially since you're so spread out.
You're supposed to marry within Judaism.
Yeah.
That is a thing. And really, maybe another podcast.
Okay.
If you're a Christian, you should marry within
Christianity
too. But basically, here's what happens is in the 20th century, after World War II, after the Holocaust, and we all find out about the Holocaust. Everyone finds out about the Holocaust really more so after the war. And there's a growing movement, starts in England, but it's happening all over Europe. And it's Jews, but it's also Christians saying that the Jews should have their land again.
Mm.
And it's a movement called Zionism. Mm. See, Zionism is, Zion is a code word in the Bible for God's people. It's also a mountain in Jerusalem or a hill in Jerusalem, Mount Zion.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when, like on Palm Sunday, when they always read the prophecy about Jesus, see daughter Zion, your king coming to you on a colt, right? Daughter Zion means Israel.
Okay.
Right? So that's where you get that, oh, you're a Zionist. And I'm like, I actually am. So what? Yeah, I'm
for
Israel.
Just tack it on, add another label to me.
And let me tell you why. Because in the scriptures, when God gave Abraham his covenant, he said, Abraham, you're going to be a people greater than the sand of the sea, stars in the sky, and the whole world will be blessed by you. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean if you're for Israel, you're against Palestinian people.
Yeah.
And Palestinian people are essentially Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are. So, and I have dear friends that live in the West Bank in the Palestinian Authority. So when you go to Israel, They have a place called the West Bank, and a lot of Palestinians live there, and it's controlled by Palestinian people. The Palestinian government controls it, but the Jewish government oversees it. They provide the water, they provide utilities, they provide those things, but it is ruled by the Palestinians, and it's walled off. And it's kind of like the border if you were to go in at Tijuana, right? You know, but it's more secure because of all the terrorism and fighting, right? Yeah. And the argument is that, you know, the Jews have tamped down on them too much, so you're causing terrorism.
Oh, okay.
Right? And the Jews are like, no, we have to, you don't live here. We you don't have get to it. Do that because, and they're probably both right.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And again, our culture wants a black and white and they want a side.
Yeah.
Right? But what the Bible says is that you're to bless Abraham's people. Mm-hmm. So we, as Christians, we tend to be for Israel.
Yeah.
And the people of God. Here's the next little thing we throw in. You get to the New Testament. Mm-hmm. So the Jews have rejected Jesus as a whole.
Yeah.
Right? The Apostle Paul, a Jew. He addresses that in Romans. He says, yeah, I've become an apostle to the Gentiles. I always go to the Jews first. Mm. And then when they reject me, I go to the Gentiles and they all receive Christ.
Yeah.
And he says, is Israel lost? And he says, no. Mm. As a matter of fact, I believe it's in Romans 10, really 9 to 11. He ends up saying, no, all Israel will be saved. And you're like, wait, what?
You're like, how does that work?
What is that? And he's not here to ask him what exactly he meant. But he also goes on to explain that that not all Israel is Israel. So what he's saying is just because you were born a Jew doesn't mean you're an Israeli, or you're not an Israeli. You're one of God's people. Mm. You have to be knit to God. Just, you know, it's an interesting concept when you think about it. Like, as white Protestant evangelicals, we see Jesus as our personal savior.
Yeah.
Much of Christianity and Judaism is based on your blood.
Yeah.
Right? I was born Catholic, so I'm a Catholic.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's not a personal faith. So that's very foreign to us.
Yeah.
But what Paul is referring to is actually that personal faith that, like, you actually have to believe in Yahweh, the God of the Jews.
It's almost like the concept of, like, pretend, you know, I have a dad who obviously is my blood father, right? Pretend he isn't around, doesn't exist, and I have a stepdad who is present, who is with me, that chosen relationship.
Who fathered you.
Who fathered me. And it's almost kind of looking at it that way. Like, yeah, I have a father who I'm blood related to, and there's that attachment there.
Yeah.
But if this father raised me and took care of me, and I've chosen, basically, this is my father, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, and what Paul has said is, in the New Testament, in Romans and in Ephesians, he said that it's almost like God is using the Gentiles coming to Christ to provoke the Jews to jealousy so they will come back to God.
Huh.
That was his argument.
It makes sense, though.
Yeah. So the weird part is when you go to Israel.
Especially if their problem is pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the biggest problem right now, though. When you go to Israel, the dominant Christian religion there is Catholicism and Eastern Orthodox and the kind of Protestants like us are a minority there, a small minority there, right? So when you walk into, say, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre where the tomb of Christ is, right? You walk in there, there's like crosses and crucifix and saints and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And people are like praying to them and touching them and
rubbing
their clothes on them. And, you know, if you think about, you're a Jew, the Bible says, no graven images.
Yeah.
Don't worship graven images.
Yeah.
And much of Eastern Christianity and Catholic Christianity have all of these icons and images.
Yeah.
In them, and they're like, don't become a Christian. That means you're a pagan.
Yeah.
To them, that's pagan because it is pagan.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Somehow, though, God's going to bring all that together at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that's going to work. But I do know when you go to Israel, all the religions actually do get along. Mm. They're not friends. They're not like, hey, what's up? But they figured out how to live.
Yeah.
There.
To coincide.
Yeah. Like when you're in Jerusalem, there's a, you know, there's a Muslim quarter, there's a Jewish quarter, there's a Armenian quarter, there's a Christian quarter, right? And they've all figured out how to get along, yeah. and you can kind of move about and no one cares. And
yeah.
A Christian can be in the Arab area and the Arab can be in the Arab area. When you go into the West Bank, that's where Bethlehem is.
Yeah.
The birthplace of Jesus.
I looked that up because I was curious.
Yeah, yeah. So like lots of you know, Palestinian, well, not lots, but there's a remnant of Palestinian Christians there in Bethlehem. They're very persecuted, very persecuted. And then aside from the West Bank, down at the very bottom corner of Israel, on the coast, bordering up to Egypt, is Gaza.
Mm.
And Gaza is an island unto itself. It's separate from the West Bank. And to be honest, there's like little islands of Palestinian territories all around Israel.
Okay.
So when they always say, we want to have a two-state solution. Well, basically, you would have to take everyone's land from each other.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, here we go, down the middle.
This is how it's divided.
And imagine
doing it doesn't that. Work that way.
It's never going to work that way. Again, it's people that have never been there. They yeah. don't know people there. They don't know anything about it. They just are trying to create a black and white solution yeah. for their social media feed.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So we support a ministry there called Seeds of Hope.
Okay.
And it's amazing. Now, they do work in Gaza. It's all underground because to be a Christian in Gaza is actually pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
But there are Christians there. There's a small underground network of Christians there. So Seeds of Hope has a ministry to them. I can't get into what yeah. they do or how.
Why?
Yeah,
you can't tell me all the ins and outs of this underground secret ministry.
Well, they won't even tell me.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, because people could get hurt.
Yeah.
But Seeds of Hope has a huge ministry in Jericho, which is also in the West Bank and the yeah. Palestinian Authority.
Jeremy Brown.
Oh my gosh. Do you hear this?
Who's calling?
Dang it. I should have turned my phone off. Sorry, podcast. So where was I? My phone went on this thing. So Seeds of Hope.
Yep.
They minister to the Palestinian people.
Yeah.
They provide jobs.
That's
they
awesome.
They opened a water factory where they make bottled water. Mm. They have a restaurant called the Green Valley Resort.
That's cool.
They have all kinds of industry. Like they make things for the tourist industry.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone becomes a believer, when they lead someone to Christ, a lot of times they get ostracized from the Muslim community.
Mm.
That means you lose your source of income, you lose a lot of things. Well, Seeds of Hope helps those people like still work
yeah.
and exist and have a new community,
yeah.
a new way about life. So it's a really cool ministry. And it was started by a guy named Tas Abu Sada,
okay.
who was a Palestinian. He was a sniper for the Palestinian Liberation Organization.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, crazy. He was Yasser Arafat's limo driver.
Oh, my God.
And then he ended up coming to America. And when he was in America, he was, long story, he became a Christian.
Yeah.
And he has a book called Once an Arafat Man. And I would encourage any of you that don't know anything about the situation in Gaza or in Israel, start with some of his stuff. Look him up on YouTube.
Tas, I can drop him in the links.
Yeah, Tas Abu Sada. He is sane. He is Palestinian. He's not pro-Israel. He's just pro-Jesus, if that makes sense. He's pro the Jews coming to Christ. He's pro-Palestinians coming to Christ.
Pro-people.
Yeah, and he sees like very clearly the situation there. And he lives there half the time.
Yeah.
And he is Palestinian, his family is, and all of that. So we've had him come speak here at Clovis Hills, and I've gone and visited their things in Jericho and the West Bank, and just a really beautiful expression of the kingdom of God and just doing good stuff.
No, that's awesome.
So I didn't give you my opinion on Israel. I just told you the history of Israel, and I am pro-Israel.
Do a part two next time.
I'm pro-Palestinian, though, too.
Yeah.
I am. I want the Palestinians to come to Christ. I think Islam is a false religion, and come at me. You know, I don't care. It is that Jesus is the one true way, and until they find Christ, they will never find peace in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So
No, I love it. I think definitely the piece to take away too is it's, again, it's not black and white just because
it's messy. It's a family issue.
It's a family. It was literally, I think we talked about that on the story podcast. If you're from Clovis Hills, we have a Clovis Hills podcast and we're going through the story this year. We're going through the Bible in a year. And we literally talked about how anytime there was polygamy, there was division and caused war. And then two, like anytime there was division of tribes and cultures, it was a family issue. And it's still going on. Like we're seeing it now.
The Jews and the Arabs were a polygamy issue with Abraham.
Yeah.
And we all suffer from it.
Yeah.
And lots of people are dying in Gaza. And that is, no one should be pro-war.
Yeah. You basically said it on a Sunday, and I think I clipped it and I'll link it below because I think I put it on YouTube, but you basically summed up like the Christian stance on Israel in like a minute or two.
Yeah.
And it was very good. I'll link it below. Like if you're one of those people who want resources to like share, if people, I have those friends who like, they'll sometimes like poke me.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, here's my information for you. So I'll link the book in our description. I'll link that little tidbit of Sean in the description too.
A lot of virtue signaling on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, free Palestine, ceasefire now.
Yeah.
You could post that all you want. That's not going to stop the Jews until they get their hostages back. And until Hamas is not in power in Gaza, they're going to systematically go through Gaza. When Hamas surrenders, people will stop dying.
Yeah.
That's the reality. That's not my opinion. That's what they keep saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of how it works. So you can call for ceasefire all you want. It makes you look real compassionate, but it doesn't do you any good.
Yeah.
You should pray for the peace.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, ultimately, that they all find unity under Christ.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Awesome.
Well, we're out of here. And
yeah.
I'm going to, hopefully my phone doesn't ring. I'm just going to end it with more Hall & Oates. What I want.